Hearts FM podcast. My name is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Chaos and Change.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. So right off the top, our public service announcements. First and foremost tonight, Bards Fest. Big news, breaking, beep, 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 beep. It is breaking news. Are you ready? Bards Fest. Both tickets are now on sale. Indoor event, outdoor event. Yes, it is there. Be excited. It's happening. So now you can go over to bardsfm.com/BardsFest, or you can just go to bardsfm.com and look for the little thing on top of the page that says Bards Fest. It's kind of a clue. Or you can go to bardsfm.com and you can click on the big visual button on the lower, just about halfway down, that says Bards Fest. All of them take you to the same place, Bards Fest, because it's awesome. 26th to 29th of August. And man, I'm telling you, our speakers are getting better almost by the day. We're still working on the daily lineup, and that's coming up, but you're not going to miss out either way. Pastor Greg Locke, Pastor Tony Wood, Pastor Travis Graham, Pastor Casper McLeod, Pastor Mike Spaulding, Pastor John Benzinger, Mike Lindell, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Carrie Madej, Dr. Jim Meehan, Dr. Eric Naputi, Dr. David Martin, Clay Clark, Jim Pugh, Kevin Jenkins, Joe Flynn, Shemaine Nugent. Can you believe it? Shemaine Nugent, too. And we're trying to get Ted there, too. We're working on it. So, Patriots, this is going to be an epic event. And so you've got the cost of the tickets every day there, and it's fantastic. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, just so you know, there's a couple little time and date confusions on the drive-in St. Louis side. Don't worry about it. Read the main page. Know what you're doing. Click on the tickets, and away you go. So it's awesome. It's going to be super. You're going to love it, and it's fantastic. Okay, next, MyPillow. Yes, Patriots, MyPillow. MyPillow, because we love MyPillow, because we like Mike Lindell, and we're having the Slipper Revolution on Friday, the 27th, when Mike Lindell is there to speak. So what does that mean? It means you have to have a pair of my slippers. My slippers have to be on your feet, not my feet. So my slippers on your feet need to be there, and you need to get a pair of my slippers, and you probably also want to get some great product like my pillows, my sheets, my comforters, my towels, maybe even a my doggy bed. So how do you get to all that and with such a great price? Well, you use something called a promo code. And what's that promo code? It's Bards, B-A-R-D-S, just like Bards FM, but no FM. Bards, B-A-R-D-S. And then you go on over to MyPillow.com, and you go there, and you put in your promo code, and you get all this amazing savings. 40% off on slippers, 66% off on pillows. It is just amazing. And what else do you get? Well, if you need to, and you're there, and you're like, you know what, I really like this, but I want to talk to a human being. Guess what? We can help you out. Because the MyPillow Patriot Counseling Line is 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. And that Patriot Counseling Line will give you a guarantee that when you get through talking to them over there, they will guide you to the right products that you need to get a good night's sleep. It's better than a psychiatrist's couch. Because why? Because you're going to have a MyPillow behind your head, covered with my sheets and covered with my comforter, and it's all you need. And that agent on the other line will say, hello, yes, what do you need? I need counseling. Well, we have just the thing for you. Are you a Bards member? Yes, I am. Okay, then use your Bards code, and we'll get you some good sheets and pillows and comforters, and you'll be fine. So get on over to MyPillow.com. Use the Bards code. That's all you need. Use the Bards code. Promo code. You can go there, whatever you need to do, and get your savings, and let's rock this thing. We need to make MyPillow the number one company in America, and we can, Patriots. We can. No problem. All right, so news today. There's a couple of crazy things going on today, and it's all leading up to what the deep state loves the most, and it's called chaos. They love chaos. And why do they love chaos? Because the more chaos they can create, the more anxiety they can produce in people. And when they produce anxiety, it is one of those things that they guarantee that people will lose their mind, especially since they've taken God out of most people's lives, and especially since so many that think they have God actually don't have it. Because people's faith, unfortunately, has become relatively lame, would be the right term for it. And faith is only as good as the wind blows, and then when the wind changes, suddenly it's like running around going, oh, the world's going to end, and then when things get really bad, they all get down on their knees, and they go, God, why did you do this to me? It's an amazing cycle. It's like, I just bought $10,000 on my $10,000 credit card, and now you're saying that I'm over my limit? I can't have the next purchase? Why did you do this to me? I don't know. Maybe because you were an idiot or something like that. I don't know. Something like that. So the deal is that we start with the news today in South Africa, which is rather disturbing, but it's definitely something to keep your eyes on. And what's happening here in South Africa is that there's been a complete societal collapse in South Africa. I've been talking to some folks from South Africa today. It's pretty rough. The police are pulling out. Looters are really hitting the streets. And as they go into the streets, the only thing they're running into, though, is that people are not taking any more of this nonsense. You've got citizens shooting looters and whipping them. It's pretty bad. And so there's a little bit of Western justice going on in the streets of South Africa. And the police are out there, looks like throwing their feet up on the desktop, drinking their coffee, whatever they're doing. But this is what we can expect, because here's the thing, is that when things start to collapse, the last thing that police want to do is be out there when they need to protect their families. Now, what I'm not going to do with this is fan the flames of the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, but I am going to talk about this in context tonight as adults, since we can have adult conversations without saying that we're all going to die and end up being force vaccinated by a FEMA agent that's going to come to your door and put a gun to your head and force you down on the ground, inject you. Anyway, we're not there yet. But as adults, we need to have a legitimate conversation. The world is being forced into a state of chaos, and it's the only way forward, unfortunately. The only question is how you come out the other side, all right? Everything that we know in our world has been touched and infected by a Luciferian thinking, meaning they've inverted everything, even faith. I mean, we can take Franklin Graham and his nonsense about Christ taking the injection, then we discover that he's been taking money from USAID and State Department, which translates to he's been taking money from the CIA, just so we're clear. And they're going to tell you, they're going to deny that, they'd even call me a heretic for saying it. Okay, whatever. Most of the USAID is made up of CIA agents. That's how they run their cover, right under the government nose. And the State Department is loaded with CIA agents. You don't think the machine of CIA and the Clintons was there by accident, do you? So, with Franklin Graham being just as one of our poster children of corruption and sellout in the order of the churches, we are living in a place right now where people are not getting good stewardship or shepherding at all in our country. And with this, they're being led down paths which are not the teachings in our belief in Christ, and they're not the teachings that will keep people calm, unfortunately. I mean, our version of calm is going to be something like this. If you come out of those type of churches, you're going to be like, now whatever you do, when they come at you and they come into your house and they hit you over the head or they threaten you with a gun, just hold up your hands. And when they say they want to attack your wife or beat her, just stand there and pray. That's garbage, just to be clear, okay? That sort of passive nonsense, that's next to like long-haired hippie stuff and patchouli with a cross on your neck. Not going to work. So we are in a place in this nation, it's very tenuous. We're in a time it's very tenuous. And what has happened is that all of these institutions that we've come to know have been so deeply corrupted by the Luciferian orders that their belief is they've always been trying to pacify the public. Now ask yourself this question. Why is it that it's so important to pacify and subjugate Christians? Why don't they just go out and round them up and be done with it? And I'm serious about this. And yet, as much as they do, Christianity still continues to rise. I mean, think about this in China. There's a very active Christian movement in China, and they're constantly being persecuted, and they constantly get stronger. Now, that seems a little bit odd, doesn't it? Because if you were really a totalitarian state as crazy as China is, and China is a crazy totalitarian state with a lot of advanced facial recognition, AI management, so forth, yet we still have Christians that are thriving. Because when we get down to it, and this I'm taking right from John Bonzinger that I spoke to today, who's an amazing pastor, and he's going to be speaking, like I said, at Bard's Fest, and I just want to give him credit for this comment, is that it doesn't matter what system we're under. This is one of the first premises to understand. It's important for tonight's talk. It doesn't matter what system we're under, whether it's totalitarianism, Nazi fascism, communism, socialism, some version of a tyrannical form of corporatocracy that we're currently living under. All those systems, even if you're in a system of we the people in a representative republic, which is what we're supposed to be, and we're not, all of those systems, doesn't matter what it is, there is one thing that never changes, and that's our devotion and love of Jesus Christ. That never changes. And that was a comment made by John Bonzinger today. Just great comment. Absolutely dead on money. So this idea right now that we're witnessing in the world is an idea that these people in power love to do. They want to sow chaos. South Africa is a great example of what they're trying to replicate around the world. When they start to bring things to this point of collapse, they have their agents, and there's many of them. These are people that are, I consider, you know, very honestly, I mean, I'll just put it like this. Most of these people I just see as demonic agents that they have activated to cause and sow chaos, to burn buildings, to loot places. And of course, these crazies think they're doing, there is literally, in order to set the world free, we must burn it down. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. We're going to go after the man. Yeah, but the man is that guy that owns a small shop. Doesn't matter. He's got a business. We have to destroy it. I mean, it's an illogic of a logic that just keeps going on and on and on, right? But these are agents of this kind of new world order. Oh, by the way, look for some great comments on this show tonight on Apple. You'll get some retards that'll put on there going, oh, this is another tin hatter. It's like, okay, that's fine with me. I'll take that title tonight. I'm going to put it on right now, just a second. Okay, my tin hat's on. I'm good. I'm ready to roll. So this connected aspect of the world right now, as they try to tear things down, is to try to break the back of the economies, which they've been doing successfully. They're, right now, we've already seen the rollout of next phase. Remember what Klaus Schwab said, which is that you will own nothing, you will rent everything, and you will be happy. We're going to get into that be happy part in just a second with some new research by Dr. Tenpenny, which is, once again, what can I say? Crazy. And so we have, I'm getting it up right now. Hang on a second. Okay, here it comes. Nope, that's not it. I'll have to find it. Anyway, I'll find it in just a second. So anyway, with this whole concept that they're rolling out, they want to break the back of the Luciferian orders, break the back of the businesses so that these new businesses can roll in. One of the things they have done with renters, for example, is they've forced landlords to keep renters in, not providing renters with the means or the mandate to pay a rent. So renters have been able to get by and owe nothing to a landlord. Well, the landlords can't sustain that because they're not giving a break on taxation or mortgage payments. So what ends up happening in all of this is that finally the landlords are like, man, I got to get out of these properties. So then you have your BlackRock move in with Vanguard Group, and they are buying up properties like crazy, and they're going to landlords and they're going, hey, by the way, we'll take this property off your back. And they'll be like, how about all of them? Like, sure. And they'll pay high market value. They're literally paying huge market value, 50, 30, 50%, sometimes 100% above market value. And so what they're doing is they're sweeping up all these properties and they're consolidating the properties to try to force people into renting. And they'll never, and that return on rental that will be inordinate, and they will get everything they need out of that property 10 times over from what they paid it. So that's not even an issue. So that's happening right now in the United States. It's been happening globally. South Africa model is where they're trying to push everybody to continue this breaking down of the economies until there is nothing. And then there's chaos that ensues. And the chaos is fueled by their own people. And then they light it off in what they, obviously they need a lot of drama. They need fire. They need this. And people go into a state of fear. So then they've created the next wave of this, which is extremely important for them, which is to ensue some form of a civil war so that people are killing people. If you've ever lived in the South, I hope you have had some experience in the South. It's a beautiful American culture, part of our culture. It is South. It is Southern. I lived down in the South for 2 years, and it's been one of the best 2 years of my life. For those of you in Georgia, I love Georgia. My point of this, is that the memory of the Confederacy is never forgotten. And that leads to the next point, which we're going to get to in a minute, of what they're trying to do with that. The memory of the Confederacy, that there was forever a blood rift and a knowledge that the North caused, this was a war of states' rights versus federal rights. We hear the story always that it is an issue of slavery, which is the narrative that they want to push forward. Or it's only about 1% of the plantation owners that were actually slave owners at the time of the Civil War. And it's always interesting to note that when they start talking about, they don't want you to hear this, but they don't want you to hear how many Black Americans were integrated into the Confederate armies. So you have to ask yourself a question. It's like, okay, were they forced as slaves in chains in there? And the answer is no. The story of the South is very different than what they're going to portray, and hence the reason the South calls the war of Northern aggression, and the North calls it the Civil War. Two different things, two different motives. Well, what that's done, though, as a benchmark, it has always left a line, and it's a blood rift between elements of the North and the South. If you know the story of Hatchfields and McCoys, I think it is. I mean, it's a true story of families that warred on and on and on for years until they finally called a truce. I think it was in 1950 until they stopped killing each other. But that's kind of what I'm getting at is once they can, Hatfields, thank you. I said Hatchfield, Hatfields and McCoys, thank you. Once they get to that place of blood rifts, they know that these fightings will go on for 50, 100 years, if not longer. So they're trying to get this rift going between us in this culture any way they can. So what you're looking at is South Africa is the beginning of this. And you're going to start seeing this happen all over the world. Notice what just happened in Haiti. And little by little, things are going to start falling apart. And it's likely to get a little bit ugly, okay? A couple things that we have to keep in mind, and I think it's important, is that as a remnant and as grounded deeply within our faith and with our walk with Christ and in our lives, we are also going to be that stabilizing factor. I'm not going to tell you that with all your prayers that there isn't going to be some sort of craziness on your street. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is that our role has never been more important, because we are going to be that weave that keeps things toned down. We're going to be that voice that moderates the violence. We're going to be and there's going to be explosions of violence. You can almost guarantee it. And I can tell you where it's going to be the most intense. It's going to be in the inner cities, where they've already broken the back of so much of what is society. And it's just basically just homeless and poverty living in the downtown areas. And they're going to fuel that up, and they're going to cause riots across the country. Those are already being prepared. And oh yes, and just so, because we know that they're listening in tonight, we want to welcome them. Our FBI has their fingers deep in that. So FBI members that are listening in, along with the hand puppet Joe Biden's NSA elements that are trying to track all of our discussions about COVID and the anti-vax, you're at the right place. Stay tuned. We'll keep you entertained for this evening. So glad to have you on board tonight. So the whole part about this is that we have to be careful how the path is that we walk. We are very much in that place of having to be, if we're walking as Christ walks and we're trying to portray that, there is a somewhat of a center line to some of this, as crazy as it is. We have to stay out of this fight of politics. And that's kind of why I wanted to point out John Bonsinger's comment tonight, why it was so important. You notice he did not say anything about political parties. And he also didn't say anything about nation states. Now, this is hard for us because we love our country, and we should. We love our country. We love our nation. We're proud of what we are as Americans, and we should be. But I will tell you also, as I talk to many people from around the world, and I do, they're very proud of their country. South Africans love their country. Those that lost their country, that was Rhodesia, love their country. I have a very good friend who is Rhodesian, claims to be Rhodesian to this day, rightfully so, another country that was stolen by the great deep state. We have people in the UK, people in France, people in Japan, people in Australia. They love their country. Chinese love their country, okay? And because what we love as our country doesn't necessarily translate to the governments that represent us. And it's important that we keep that focus because we can transform a country politically, and we have to still remain united collectively. It's an important difference here. In the midst of this chaos, as long as we're holding to that place of Christ in our heart, we can completely get along. I was talking about this morning, and it's an important perspective. And it's something that's from my own assessment of why our framers, our founding fathers, love, were able to argue so passionately and still get along. It's because the majority of them had Christ in their heart. So hear me on this, because this is an important perspective. They could discuss and debate passionately between each other, something they felt absolutely must be in the Constitution, must represent the people, and they would have engaged and passionate arguments. And yet they didn't hate each other. They supported each other in the end. But what common ground they had was the love of Christ. If we can keep that balance as the way we go forward here, which is so important, and one thing that we know very well, they want to take as much of our belief in worship away from us. One thing they cannot take is the love of Christ in your heart. They can't take that. And it freaks them out because they want to close down churches. And we're like, okay, close them down. You piss us off. But any church that closes down deserves to be closed down. So they weren't teaching the rights of God anyway. So let's move on. We'll have our assembly in our homes. We'll have our assembly online. We'll have our assembly in the public square. And of course, they've tried. Well, you can't have more than 3 people in your home because they don't want a home church. It has nothing to do even with assembly of a politics. They're fearful of the assembly of the love of God. And their assembly, and they're worried about what that means when people start to bring Christ in their heart because they know they cannot stop that. Patriots, that is such an important element in what we are doing right now across the globe that we have to support each other through prayer and faith and our love of Christ everywhere. Because it is the one pivot point that we all come together. We can talk about a passage in the Bible, a very passionate topic for some, and some will say it means this, and another person will say it means that. But you know what? We may not agree. That's okay. I mean, it might be a very impassioned debate, but one thing we can do at the end of that conversation is we can pray, and we can give respect to Jesus Christ, and we will be together. That is the amazing part about this. And this is what they fear so much. And this is why they work so hard at dividing us. So that also means that in these midst of violence, and we're going to pray, as we pray later tonight, we are going to pray for South Africa. We're going to pray for the many people that are going through this sort of chaos, even the violence in Chicago, because we have to overcome this through the healing and prayer of through Jesus Christ. We have got to heal these differences. We have to find our way through this as a people that isn't getting aren't getting pulled and trapped by the craziness of the politics, because politics mean nothing. They're a creation of man, and these people want you to worship politics as if it's a politics of God. It is not. But that doesn't mean that our faith doesn't need to engage it. Churches have tried to separate themselves from politics. It's nonsense. All they've done is accepted a grift called the 501c3, which tells them they can't. That grift needs to go away. And since we're not in a 501c3 church, we can do anything we want within the realm of God, obviously. It's like not anything, but within that structure of engaging that, right? So right now, here we go again. And today in Charlottesville, they're now taking down the statue of Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea. I mean, this is insanity. And I'm the reason for this is, once again, they're trying to sow hatred. So somebody up in South Dakota, probably one person that is probably not even Native American, probably somebody liberal up in South Dakota, apparently complained that Sacagawea was bent down, is not standing up. And so it's not giving respect to Native American culture. Look, this is where we get into the level of stupid. So they're starting to take it away. But the real motive, that's the surface motive, so they can feel the hate. The real motive, when you get down to it, is that the relationship between Meriwether and William Clark to the Confederacy of the South. And they don't want to be careful. They don't want any of this happening. They don't want any idols that are strong. Okay? They want no memory of the War of Northern Aggression around. They don't want any of those powerful leaders and generals. Okay? Meriwether Lewis and William Clark are two of the most powerful American icons that we have. I've done a story on them on the Expedition Cafe show on Sunday night. They represent incredible human accomplishment. They represent an ability to interface with foreign culture, the Native American culture, or American Indian culture. And they have done an amazing job of mapping out, using skills and all sorts of abilities to live off the land. They are true icons, and they have done a lot to try to bury their histories. They don't teach it in schools anymore. Nobody reads the journals. These two men are powerful icons, and it's not surprising that they want these people suppressed. Again, icons are a threat to the deep state, because anything that people look up to as an example of accomplishment means that you're not looking at the state for your worship. In the erasing of the Confederate generals, they're trying to once again remove that idea that there was any sort of greatness or leadership from the South, because the South still represents a rift. Remember, a greater truth in that war is told in the South. Those who are victory in history write the histories. And while we can talk about Abraham Lincoln and unifying the country and all of this nonsense, it is a bit of a nonsense, because at the end of the day, the reparations were never made to the South. The South was punished economically in the years to follow, especially after Lincoln was assassinated. And most importantly, is that the real truth in that war is centered on the economics of the North wanting to industrialize the South. And they used the issue of slavery, which was already being moved out of the culture and was already being eradicated naturally. And I'm not giving slavery any credence here, so be very clear. I hate that whole damn thing, and it irritates me that our founding fathers didn't have the backbone to ban it from the beginning. But there was such a conglomerate of slave owners around the country, including the North, that when they did the Constitution, they had to broker a deal so that it would begin a 30 or 40 year transition out of the culture. It's disgusting. The whole concept pisses me off, literally, because owning people is as wrong as it gets. However, the war of Northern Aggression, the war of what the North calls the Civil War, was centered on states' rights versus federal rights. That was the real motive in the whole thing. So it's not surprising, again, that these deep state elements are now at move to try to erase that concept. They want to erase histories, memories of what it was to fight for something, and what that purpose of fighting for was. You're not seeing the Northern generals erased. You're seeing primarily the Southern generals being erased, because somehow they're all assigned to slavery, right? So this is part of the time we're in. They are trying to constantly move us to a place where the only reference point we have is the here and the now. And the here and the now that they want you to believe is that there is only one type of racism. It's driven by a white class. They want to foment that anger and hatred from the those of what they call minorities, which is just it's just another group of people. They're trying to fan those flames of hatred within Black American culture. They're trying to fan this, the flames of anger and hate on the Hispanic culture. And they're trying to target it inward so that they can create a civil war. The most dangerous places to be in the coming months and the coming year will be the inner cities. It's real. You're going to be surrounded by a number of issues that are going to start causing massive problems. And I think as well we can start expecting to see more issues like South Africa because they know what's coming. There's going to be a lot of people starting to die from this injection they put into everybody. And they don't have the build yet, meaning they don't have enough people injected to accomplish their global prison planet that they really need and they want. In particular, a prison planet that's focused on the West, not so much around the world. They're trying to eradicate Western culture. That's their goal. And there's going to be some pretty serious impacts that we're going to feel because we have a mass of useless idiots that decided to take this injection. And I'm not kind on that because in the process of what they've done is they've endangered our country. These people have misthought, miscalculated. They've expected the world to be easy, looking to the worship of Big Pharma to save themselves instead of putting the strength and love of Christ in their heart. And in the process, they've walked away from Christ. They've walked away from their worship of God. I don't care if they had, if they said they were saved or not. It makes no difference to me. One thing I want to read, I read it this morning. I want you to hear this. This is very important. And it's, this is Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Keep in mind what I just said about people turning their back on Christ in this taking this injection. This is important. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, go you workers of lawlessness. I've said this many times. In the sense of, quote, salvation, of accepting Christ in your heart, it is a beginning, not a guaranteed end. And I truly believe that. And that opposes a lot of people who believe that, but that is a process that we all have to get to understand that it's a daily works and deeds and a commitment to Christ every single day. So all this I'm getting at is that there is a group of people who have decided that the worship is towards the state. Now, some of those are waking up to realize that this was kind of a bad deal they took, and I get that. And we do want to, we're going to do everything we can to pray for them and help them come back to the fold of God. But as we do this, they also, we are going to have to come together as a common voice to keep the stability and reason within our nation as they try to rip the underbelly out of it and pull the underpinnings. And they will try. Don't kid yourself. They will try. They have their agents ready to start the chaos. They're preparing that. Back to our favorite boys in the FBI. There is good evidence that they're already trying to organize riots across the nation in multiple cities using their field teams, their localized bureaus. That's part of this game. And we're dealing a lot with many bad elements in our society. So there's a number of things then to take from this, and one of them is not, let me stress that, one of them is not fear. Truth should not be a fearful event. Truth should be a humbling and a focused point in time. Is what I've shared tonight absolute truth? No, but do I see it as a trend going that way? It's something we definitely need to consider and put on the table. The truth is South Africa is in chaos. The truth is that this injection is killing people. VAERS data is now well over 9,000 people dead. The truth is that there is the things that Dr. Tenpenny spoke of in the Ohio legislature about the magnetism. That's not just a light thing. The reason the media went crazy on it goes to an article that came out today, which is rather fascinating. Scientists flip switch on genes with a magnet, meaning they can now manipulate, and this is a critical component down here. In the future, Goller says, remember, when they say in the future, it's already here. They just haven't told you about it yet. In the future, this technique could be used to map neural pathways, tinker with behaviors, and compare neurons to in different parts of your brain. In other words, they can engineer the way you think, feel, and exist. That's what Klaus Schwab has been telling you the whole time. And all this is based on creating magnetism within the body. And of course, we know that that's happening. That's not a question of whether it's happening. It is happening. And this is one of those things that we have to come to grips with, that those who have taken the shot are now very much at risk of hurting others because they are not necessarily in control of what the way they think. So that key agent that's been going in the shot that we've been tracking down, Dr. Tenpenny's team has been tracking down, is something called graphene oxide, which mixes with hydrogen, and it helps create magnetism either when exposed to 5G or just by other exposures. So all of this stuff, this science fiction theory that we're around or people not believing it, it is critical to understand it's real, it's here, and they are trying to sow discord, discontent, and permanent chaos within society. If they had their way and 70% of the population was injected, you would literally have a version of a zombie apocalypse because you could constantly turn people on themselves. You could turn them into anything you want with the frequency and magnetic manipulation they can do through the graphene and through the other methods of mRNA and spike proteins. Okay. All this deals with DNA modification and ultimately who owns you. This whole architecture we're looking at in the world is about chaos. Don't kid yourself. It is all about chaos, and it's all leading towards a change. Now, from their perspective, they're winning. That's their arrogance. They believe that. That's what they're going to focus on. They believe they can sow enough chaos to prevent anybody from ever unifying again. And now we're back to that same thing, because what do they worship? They worship the fact that people will be forced to worship their institutions, their governments, the dollar, the material things, and the want of anything at any cost, as long as people don't have anxiety. And anxiety is one of their key tools, which is driven by the fear and so forth that they put in society. Once they sow that, they try to work people up into such a frenzy that the only thing people want is relief, and people fail to see that they can affect the outcomes of their own destiny if they have faith. And when we put Christ in our heart and we're unified through Christ, we have no differences among us. We have disagreements, we have impassioned debates, but we all accept one thing. We are of one common soul. We are all part of God. And with the love of Christ in our heart, we can all pray together and be together as one. This is why it's so powerful and why they fear it so much. Because in those moments and through our prayers, we can literally transform the world. Moving a mountain from here to there, we could literally move a mountain from here across the world and raise up a kingdom and crush it all through prayer. That's the power in which we have, the power which they fear, the power in which they constantly try to separate us from by keeping us divided and distracted. But as long as we continually come back to that center point of prayer and love of Christ, we are there. And so there has never been a more important time, Patriots, never ever in our history. I don't think there's been a more important time in the history of humankind. That with the awareness that we have, the awakening that's been achieved, the love of Christ is starting to rise up once again in this amazing world. That we embrace truly the power that we have through the love of Jesus Christ, get it within us, and we pray together, we come together through prayer, where two or three or more are gathered, we pray to God and let God know what we need, where we are, and that we are here holding this line, standing in this kingdom firm, and holding this land to occupy the many lands yet to come. We have to be solid in prayer, and it has to be through that power of Christ that we get there. So I'm just going to kind of wrap it up with this piece, because many times we get people that drift in here, and I respect that, and is a place where people talk about, oh, I believe in God, but they won't say I love Christ. And they see Christ as kind of that outlier. And I get that. And I'm not blaming them. A lot of that is just this corrupted teaching within our churches. It's the horrific exposure in our media of what our faith is about. And it's not our faith, it's God's love of us through his son. It's that simple. Not our faith, it's what we've accepted. So let me put this in a simple context for those that are drifting and looking. And I hope this helps. as a universalist or one that says you believe in God, I respect that. Okay, but it's not far enough step. But here's what's happening. We are living in a matrix. We are living in a matrix that's like a maze. And in this matrix and maze, what is happening is it is changing and morphing every single day, sometimes every single second. So as you walk down one way and you think you understand, you've mapped out the way out, it's going to change the rules on you. That's what it does. So when we talk about things like meditation and ascension through enlightenment, it's really kind of a joke, because what you're actually doing is you're working through a maze that is guiding you to a certain outcome, that when you get up to a certain point, they're trying to tease you into this place of like, well, you too can become a god and be worshipped. So there's no way out of that trap. That you'll think there is, and you'll spend hours doing it, but you're moving through a maze that's constantly morphing. And so a lot of that trap we see rematerialize in these beliefs of reincarnation, where somebody starts as a weed, then they move to an untouchable, and whatever else they do, they move up to be a cow or something, and then they get up to be a guru, a businessman, a guru. I mean, it's I'm being sarcastic, but I find it to be nothing more than a faith and a belief in a system that was set up by the fallen to begin with. That whole process is a regurgitation and cycle of a trap to keep souls trapped and circulating around the control of the fallen. Christ is the keystone. It is the key that unlocks everything. This world can move and morph in multiple directions at once, and you will never lose your azimuth as long as you have Christ in your heart and you're following that. That is the ticket to the higher ascension. That is a ticket to God, because it is through Christ to the Father. This world can burn down. There can be, they can have volcanoes. They can have earthquakes. You can have floods. And never will your azimuth change on one thing: love of Christ and through Christ to the Father. You can have your entire city crushed down. You can have armies marching down your street. They can arrest you and throw you in jail. They could put you on a guillotine and cut off your head. As long as you put Christ in your heart and never ever waver, it is always through Christ to the Father, and you will be fine. We are not of this world. Remember that. We are not of this world. And as long as we remember that and keep that in our hearts, we are absolutely untouchable, invincible in this space. Because the physical experience that we have is our experience to learn and to grow. And our relationship to Christ to the Father gains us that beautiful relationship as we start to move through this world and we commit ourselves to what God wants. Right now, we need this strength in us more than ever, because the world is sowing for chaos. They want chaos. They want hatred. They want violence. They want blood. They want death. Fine. Let them try. Because as long as we don't take on the emotions that they're trying to put in us, as long as we don't get amped up on the politics of manipulation, as long as we don't get amped up on the propaganda of deceit, then we're fine. Keep Christ in your heart, patriots. It is through Christ to the Father. Christ is a keystone out of the crazy. And never, no matter how many times they change the rules, no matter what form of government comes above you, it is always the same. The love of Jesus Christ is the part that binds us all, that brings us all together. And no matter where we sit in the world, no matter what color our skin, no matter what size we are, we have a common belief and a common thread. It is through Christ to the Father. We can disagree, but we will always be able to pray together. And through praying together, we can change this world. Never forget that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly blessed. We are blessed to have these moments to come together, blessed to celebrate all that you give us, blessed to celebrate the freedom and glory that you put upon our heart. Lord, we truly are humbled in this time in which we live to walk with the opportunity so that you provide the blessings that you give, and most of all, Lord, to walk in the body of Christ as we move forward. Lord, in this time, we pray for the healing of the blood of Christ on the many. We pray for the strength of Christ in the many's hearts, that we can move forward together, not be swayed or trapped by this measures of chaos that we know are being sown by the enemy, but instead to be able to rise above it, to remember that we are not of this world, but instead we walk as one in the body of Christ. To respect the fact that as we walk in the body of Christ, that sometimes we don't see everything the same way, but we are still connected through that. And through that, Lord, we are part of you, and we are humbled before you, for it is through Christ to you, Lord, that we feel that strength and that glory that you provide. Give us eyes to see, Lord, and ears to hear. Let us discern that difference between the violence that's being sown to separate us and the experience that we gain to embolden our faith and bring us closer together. And let these experiences bring us closer together and embolden our faith through you. So, Lord, as we walk this time, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be in this time, in this place. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. An amazing time, Patriots, to live. And it's an amazing time to be walking as we walk. Let us constantly keep in prayer. Let us constantly be in a cycle of prayer, praying to God, walking closer to Christ, and using that power of light and love that we have within us, not to be weak, but to be strong, to be the strongest warriors to ever walk, to remember that we're not in the fight. We're here to guide the many to the light. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are the binding force of this fight. They bring us together. They give us strength. They reinforce our foundations. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. Christ is within us. And in the end, God always wins. So have a blessed night. I'll see you this evening for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
an old evil that has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.